I'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words." Verse 4. "Whereby, when he read," or when he read, "he may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I'm made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom I'm less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principles of the power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts as we send our thoughts on the subject, the dispensation of the grace of God. Father and O God, we give you thanks for this dispensation of the grace of God, which is fast coming to an end. And we pray to you, Lord God, that men and women will open up their hearts and accept your grace and stop trampling underfoot the grace of God. Father, we thank you for Shiloh and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us over this 49 years of ministry, in spite of the fact that the church is just 46 years young or old. Father, bless us, and may we continue to press on and continue to grow and see souls added to the kingdom. Save, baptize, and added to the church. These mercies we ask in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The dispensation of the grace of God. Throughout the Bible, the word grace can be found 150 times. Most of it can be found in the New Testament. Very few times in the Old Testament. As we understand it, grace is God's unmerited favor. It is also important to note that the Apostle Paul used the word grace more than anyone in the Bible. It would take me hours to look at all the references from Romans to Hebrews where you can find the word grace most of the times, of the 150 times it is found in the Bible. It began back in Genesis when we are told Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can now better appreciate why Paul said in verse 2 that the dispensation of the grace of God has been given to him, to the Gentiles. Again, in Colossians 1, 25 through 29, I will not take the time to read, but he talks about the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God. Only three times the word dispensation is found in the Bible, and all of them by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, in Colossians, and in Ephesians. It is interesting to note that Paul is the only apostle who mentioned the terminology, the dispensation of the grace of God. For the good of those of you who are not familiar with the term dispensation, I hope that some of you can remember. The last time I think I preached on the dispensation is what, 1997, as I was checking my notes. But it means a period of time in which God deals with man according to his sins. From the creation to the end of the world, there are seven dispensations. And here we are in the sixth dispensation, which is the one just before the last, the kingdom. It's important to note that each dispensation begins with a covenant and it ends with a judgment. However, time will not permit me to go into all the details of the covenants and the judgments, but I'll list for you the seven dispensations: innocency, conscience, human government, promise, law, grace, and the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign. And so here we are in this sixth dispensation, which we're in the dying moments of it. I said all that to say, this dispensation is the greatest of all the seven dispensations. Under law, you wouldn't want to be living under law. Neither do I. And I would not want to be living during the kingdom age. We are not going to be a part of the 1,000-year reign here upon earth. Over the past 46 years, we have experienced the mystery of God's grace firsthand in miraculous ways. God has brought us from the humblest of beginnings to where we are presently, and we must give God thanks. Things did not always go the way we wanted them, but they went according to God's plan. During the first 9 years of our existence, 1971 to 1980, at times we were pressed beyond measure and we wondered if we would survive. There were some deep, dark, long valleys, but the mountaintop experiences far outnumber the valleys and the valley experiences. And because of that, we were urged to press on. Amen? Amen. 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 Brethren, I want to briefly leave it to here. Four things when it comes to pressing on, but that's not the main points, really. You can't write nothing anyhow because you're in the dark. But if you can write, you might want to write these down, but these are not the four the main points that I'm going to give to you. But in keeping with the theme here, press on, brethren. We press on because of the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. Because of the riches of his grace, we are saved and justified, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and power. We are partakers of the inheritance, Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Because of the riches of his grace, we are partakers of the divine nature, 1 Peter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We press on because the work is not finished. The work of Christ in our lives calls us to pursue a forward focus, a focus that is intensely set on heaven. The work is not complete until either that we die or Jesus Christ return. The promise is that Jesus will see this work through completion. There is more that God wants to do in us and through us until the day of Jesus Christ. We press on to overcome the past. What is behind us is past, and there is nothing that we can do about it. The past is like water on the bridge. And there is no time machine that could take it back. We can do nothing about yesterday. Yesterday end last night or ended last night. Let yesterday live in the past. We waste too much time and energy looking back and worrying and frustrating ourselves over the past, what has happened, and things that we can't do anything about. But the question is, are you satisfied with what you have achieved in Christ? And by extension, are we satisfied in what we have achieved in Christ? We press on to keep the momentum going. The past is the source of our problems today, our pains, our regrets. And Jesus is far more concerned with your future than he is with your past. What is in the past, we leave it there. Brethren, we went through some serious struggles. And as I was musing and meditating on where we came from, not with regret, but with joy, I think of the fact that God has brought us through much difficulties. I was discussing with my wife yesterday how that, I think last night it was, as I was thinking about it, it took us 21 years to do that old building there. We started back in 1975, and we did not complete it until 1996. It was done in phases. The first building without a bathroom, we had to build a Johnny house in the back. And then it took us a number of years to get the bathrooms on, two bathrooms and some Sunday school rooms and an office. And then it took us another number, nearly 10 years to get the upstairs done. But guess what? To get this done took us 10 months. We did it over there because the money was not available. But here, the money was available because we went to the bank. Matthew, it took us something like 6 years to plan this thing here. It took us 14 years to complete getting the land for it. And that's another story which I can't go into tonight. How that we bought this land here and they gave us over there because over there was no good. Also, that building over there would have been here and this building would have been in the middle. But it was according to God's plan. And guess what? It all worked out to our benefit, and I thank God. I'm not going into that right now. But I still have to say that when we were here, we had to press on. When I told the contractor, I want this thing done, I want it done by October. He told me, yes, it can be done. So we started in January. And then I had a whole bunch of men here, and they're laughing at me and say, are you boys up? The pastor said he wants this year finished for October. It can't happen. It can't happen. I said, gentlemen, why can't happen? We need more men. I had 10 of them, or 7 of them, as a matter of fact. And so I hired another 3, and they say, it can't happen. And I said, what you want? They say, we want more men. So I hired 7 more men, and we had 17 men here working. And the fellows who are here, every time I bring people, say, are you boys up? The pastor said he wants this year finished in October. You think this year could happen? It can't happen. It can't happen. I went home and I put my head in my wife's lap and I cried. Because everything was on and the conference was going to be in January. And some of my own brothers and sisters laughed at me and came here and said that this year can't happen for the conference. I just turned off from them and went and left them. And so I came back one day and I said, fellas, I need to know all of you who think it can't happen. And 10 of them tell me it can't happen. I said, put up your hand. And I said, those who think it could happen, put up your hand. 7 of them say it can't happen. I tell the 10 of them, you are fired. I'm not Donald Trump, but they were fired. I fired the 10 of them, and the 7 of us got it done for the anniversary. And it was ready for the conference. Brethren, you got to press on. And don't let people stand in your way. It came at great cost because Social Security charged me a whole bunch of money for firing them. But never mind, we got it done. And if these 10 of them were here, we would never get it done. Because they made up in their mind and tell me, it can't happen, Pastor. So sometimes you've got to get the real people out of your life to get what you want done. And I look back with that last night here, and I look back at it with a smile. And I felt like when those guys went up to the mountain and they came back with Joshua and Caleb and them and said, "The land up there is good, but we can't go." And two of them said, Joshua and Caleb, "Oh, yes, we can." And you know the story. Well, let's move on here. That's not my message. That's free anyhow. But listen, you don't let people stand in your way. When God gives you a vision, and let's follow the pastor's vision, follow the pastor's vision. When God gives you a vision, follow the vision. And don't question. Very few people followed my vision when I told them back in 2010, we are going to start singing here with music. We are going to start singing with tracks, and to tell me that nobody here could sing with tracks. Don't tell me it can't happen. Choir, you just thrilled my heart this night to see my dream fulfill. Well, not tonight, but, you know, for the past 5 years. And as a matter of fact, we did some of it before, but it didn't work out very well because nobody was with me. But anyway, God, I thank you. Here are a couple of four things I want to leave with you very quickly, and we're going home. In keeping with our subject, the dispensation of the grace of God. Number one, God's grace is amazing. Amen? I felt like asking the pastor to let Kenley sing Amazing Grace, but I said, no, me not interfere with the program. It was a mystery to our predecessors. But it's now revealed to us, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. This is marvelous and exciting in our eyes that we are the ministers of the dispensation of grace of God. Amen. Brethren, the Apostle Paul said, I'm the minister of the dispensation of the grace of God that is given to me. And I'm passing it on to you. And it's handed down to us. I know a lot of people feel proud because they're lawyers. A lot of people feel proud because they're doctors. A lot of people feel proud because they are all kind of Easternism and thing. But brethren, there isn't anything like being a minister of God and a minister of the mystery of the grace of God. And I don't let anybody make me feel inferior because they work for big money and me no work for none. Only that which has been done for Christ will last. And time will not permit me to go back over and read these verses. But brethren, the Apostle Paul talking about here how that is so marvelous and wonderful. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 9. And he talk about here how that the riches of the grace of God and how God is rich in mercy and grace and the love. How he has quickened us from the dead and make us sit together in heavenly places. Brethren, we're in heavenly places. Amen. Even the corona is around. Pretty soon we're going to get out of here and leave corona down here. That in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Amen. In his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two. God's grace is not only amazing. For those of you who are writing and you can see, maybe you can put it on your phone. God's grace is in abundance. Amen. One of my favorite verses is John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, "And grace for grace." It means there is grace all over the place. Amen. Amen. It says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. John bear witness of him. He cried, saying, "This was him of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have received grace for grace." Amen. Amen. "For the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ." Amen. There are a lot of people who do not say they don't believe in the dispensations. Why? Because it does not fit their narrative. Because if they talk about the dispensations, what it would blow your teachings apart. But brethren, the seven dispensations are real, although you don't hear much about it. Because what? People don't like it because it does not suit their doctrine. Number three. The dispensation of the grace of God. Grace is very accessible. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. I will not take the time to read all of it. But it talks about how that we must come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find what? Grace in the time of need. We are needy people. We need God's grace and it's available. Number four, finally, this dispensation of grace, God's grace is awesome. Ephesians 1, 5 to 11. I don't want to take time to read all of it, but it talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. I think I said that three times in the Bible, the Apostle Paul mentioned dispensation, but I made a mistake. It's four. Also in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by the grace by Jesus Christ of himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and honor of his grace. And it goes on, skipping some of it. It says here, verse 10, that in the dispensation, this is the fourth time, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of which, in him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Amen. Brethren, the dispensation of God is real, and this dispensation is in its closing moments. And I wouldn't be surprised, I'm not setting any date, but I'm hoping that this dispensation is going to close out this year. This year has been the most, excuse the expression, the most humbug up here I've ever seen in my whole life. Whatever can go wrong, look where we are. Right back in 1971, no electricity. From 2020 to 1971, when we were in Craddock Road in a polyester tent, they say, because we had a sand floor. I could remember two ladies said, Pastor Maynard, you expect me to come back in the place I got there? And I don't believe they ever came back to Shiloh. That place I got there, one of them said, I come over there, and them old bench you got, they mess up my pantyhose. Brethren, we don't have any bench anymore. We have pews. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen, when she told me that, I said, one these days, we're going to pass benches and we're going to get some nice padded pews. Brethren, since back then, you know why we build this? Because what we have over there was given to me. And that's not what I wanted. What I wanted since 1971 is something that would look like this here with padded pews. God granted my heart's desire for my whole funny wooden tent with a polyester floor. Because, you know, polyester was the thing back then in 1971. And they laugh at me, say that, Pastor Maynard got a polyester floor over there, make out of sand. And guess what? We didn't have any bathroom. Well, let's move on here. Finally, God's grace is awesome. Amen. We are in the dying moments. And I encourage you, brethren, or not brethren, those of you who are not born again, please be saved. Those of you who are saved, please live like you are saved. Those who trample under the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God, they live to regret it. My admonition to you, brethren, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Because you must keep in mind God's grace is unlimited. It's unmerited. It's unfailing. And it's unending. Amen. 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 I'd like to say much more, but I think I'm going to close here, given the darkness of the night and the length of the day already. And it's hot. But I want to admonish you, brethren. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'll tell you the truth. Back in the 80s and the 90s, the way things were going, I really believed that Jesus Christ was going to come by the year 2000. And I'm surprised that Jesus has not come as yet. But as we see things as they are, I warn you, especially to those who are young, there is no going back. Things are not going back to normal. My heart goes out to the little children. Can't hug each other. And if they were to grow up and be adults, husband and wife, they will have problems. Because they'll not know what it is to be affectionate. Brethren, you know what I miss here at Shiloh? Hugging each other. Shaking each other's hand. But until the end of the month and you want to hug, brethren, me not afraid to hug you because of corona here. After the end of the month, well, not come near me, eh? So if you want to hug, you better get it before the end of the month. But seriously, brethren, these are serious times. These are challenging times. And like I said, we come through some challenging times. But these are far more challenging than we had to ever face. I think some of the greatest challenges that we face over here at Shiloh was financial challenges. We didn't have money, really. And we were handicapped. And we really couldn't do the things that we wanted. And we were never qualified to go to a bank to get a loan. And that's why it took us so long with that building, because we were never qualified. But God be thanked that when it came to this, we could have gone to the bank with boldness. And they had no problem in lending us $500,000. And we were able to get done what we wanted for the first time. And I thank God for that. But then we didn't really have any problems here at Shiloh. We did not have any problems, really. What we had were challenges, difficulties. And we were able to work through them with much, at times, difficulties. But God saw us through them all. But they cannot be compared through the mountaintop experiences that we have had here at Shiloh. Look at this mountaintop experience we have had here with the choir tonight. Brethren, my heart, it was heavenly. I don't know about you. But if you didn't feel heaven on earth, brethren, you need to come and get saved again. And if you're not saved, you need to come and get saved now. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. We sit in heavenly places. When the choir did the productions. Brethren, those productions were heavenly. And I wish to God that we'll be able to get back to do some more productions. Pastor Wayne, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for answering God's call. Because I guarantee you that I could not have brought the church through this pandemic as you did. I know nothing about Zoom. Just yesterday, my grandson said, Granddaddy, you need to go on eBay and get rid of some of them old computer here and thing. I said, eBay? What is eBay? He said, Granddaddy, you don't know what eBay is? I said, boy, no. The only bay I know is the bay down by the beach. So he took my phone and he said, Granddaddy, you go here and you go here. And if you have something to sell, you go there. I said, call him up and tell him we got two old computers we want to sell. One time he said, "Daddy, what app?" You say, I said, "Boy, what is an app?" He said, "Granddaddy, you don't know what is an app? You really need to go learn some things." Me, I said, "Boy, I'm on my way out. I know enough." And Pastor Wayne, may God bless you for answering God's call. Something I prayed for years. I believe that Dr. Sim Daniel must be a happy man wherever he is. I believe that Mr. Brand for the bakery is a happy man wherever he is. I believe Mr. Hunkins is a very happy man. Samuel Hunkins. I believe that Spencer Brand is a very happy man. I believe Dr. Leibert is a very happy man. You know why? Their children follow in their footsteps. Don't you think that I'm going to be a happy man, that my son follow in my footsteps? I'm happier than Sim Daniel. I'm happier than Spencer Brand. I'm happier than Hubert Brand. I'm happier than Samuel Hunkins. What they're doing is temporal. What odd we are doing here is eternal. And only that which has been done for Christ will last. Brethren, this ministry is no pick a page thing, really. It's God's work. It's tough work. And I'm asking you, brethren, whoever your pastor is, follow the vision of the pastor. Follow the vision of the pastor. I admire pastors who work a full-time job and the ministry. I did it for a couple of years, and it was bone-crushing. The most bone-crushing period of my life. I was making good money selling insurance, although that was affecting the ministry. Because selling insurance was like selling rum and selling lottery ticket. People watch me and say, "Aye, boy, oh, the man you talk about, you're preacher and you sell insurance." Selling insurance was like a sin. But then it was so difficult. One day I told him, "Listen, this is affecting my ministry and I can't do it anymore." From that day until this, I didn't work for anybody else. My wife would tell you, sometimes I go to sleep 3 o'clock in the morning. I have to wake up at 6 o'clock and be down at the office in the morning at 7:30 and think, and I would picking up money. I say, this is not good. But God has blessed us. God has met my need, and through His grace, I'm here. Pastors, those of you who work, I admire you and may God bless you. It's no easy task. Pastor Wayne, I like how he followed in my footsteps. He worked for 5 years and he told them, he was working for big money for government. One day, he thought, pack it up. Can't do it anymore. Listen, my heart went out to him. Because I know how bone-crushing it is to do a separate job and do ministry. You go to sleep 3 o'clock in the morning. Get up 6 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning, people calling you on the phone talk about, sorry for waking you up. Boy, if I was close to them, I'd put my fist in their mouth. Listen, don't ever do that to a pastor. Listen, don't, not even a joke. Don't ever say, "Pastor, sorry for waking you up." Brethren, I don't sleep in the day. I don't. I get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and I don't get back in my bed until 10 o'clock. I don't sleep in the day. I don't even lie down my bed in the day. Even until now. People think that pastors have nothing to do. Shame on you. It's very insulting to tell a pastor, "Sorry for waking you up in the middle of the day." Pastor woke up since 6 o'clock and 5 o'clock, he went to bed 3 o'clock. Brethren, you don't lie down in your bed and get things accomplished. When you have challenges to face, you can't even sleep. You're on your bed and you're lying down. You can't sleep. Praying to God. People fast in their bed asleep. They think that you are sleeping all day, all night. And yet things happen. But never mind. God is in the midst. Respect your pastor. Pastor Wayne, I thank you. I thank you a million times. I thank you. I wish I had a couple million dollars to give you, but I don't. I love you and your family for making the sacrifice and rescuing me because my health was real bad. And because of you and your family, my health has been restored better than it's ever been. And I want to thank God for the church, for standing with me and for Shiloh. May God bless every one of you. May cause you to prosper And may you just live lavishly in His grace, the riches of His grace. I wanted to talk a lot about His riches of His grace, but I will not. Time is up. Again, if you're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, please, please, receive Jesus Christ. Receive His grace. This is the dispensation of grace. 2,000 years. I believe law, the dispensation of the law, was the longest dispensation. I don't know how long it was. But I believe that this, I don't know how long the second dispensation was with between Adam and Eve and Abraham. I don't know how long. We don't know the exact time of the dispensations. But we know for sure that this dispensation is not going to last longer than, much longer than 2,000 years. It's over 2,000 years now. We have a 20-year grace period. But we cannot, and please, don't tell anybody that I tell you that Jesus is coming this year. I don't know. In the 1980s, preachers all over the states were setting dates for the coming of Christ. And He did not. They stopped. Well, some are still. But Jesus could come at any time. Please, be ready. For an hour as we think not, He cometh. Christians, let us keep pressing on.